Whitey Cheese. I see why they call us the Whitey Cheese fan base. Sad. It's really sad, Chasky.
Fonte, I just don't know what else you need to say here. Like, this is a must-win situation.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'm disappointed. Matt Nahegan shaking his head. Spadoni's a Raider fan. He's been miserable his whole life. He's even saying, I can't believe Niner fans act like this. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I just think right now we're really frustrated with what we're seeing from our own team. It's hard to waste all that energy and point it and direct it at the Cowboys. I mean, it is a great opportunity to be able to flip your season around. I'm very worried. Like, this is a team coming off a bye.
I got my guy, Filet-O-Fish, texting me right now. You know
Filet-O-Fish is his name?
Well, oh, it's Ryan Covey.
Oh.
Ryan Covey, sales manager. Elliot listens to us all the time. He loves the Jerry Jones rant. He's a season ticket holder. He goes hard in the paint. He's not a soft Niner fan. Shout out to Covey. I owe you a phone call. He's feeling good right now because the Bears are rolling. We could beat the Bears for all these years when they didn't have a quarterback for a zillion years and not 1,000-yard receivers. Gosh, it's the Cowboys week. I can't believe the lack of energy this week. So you had the Chiefs, and then you had the Cowboys. And the energy, it's like we're walking on eggshells. Like, oh, I hope we win. Oh my gosh. Bobby Los Altos. I can't believe this fan base this week. I'm calling you all out. Bobby Los Altos, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I didn't realize it was supposed to be a hype call.
You don't need to be hype, Bobby. I'm just, Bobby, you know me. And I've just been disappointed in fan base. It's been some front running, fire this guy, fire that guy, doom and gloom this, doom it. I can't roll like that, Bobby. I can't.
Hey, first, let me speak for the fans. But first of all, can I say this? I did listen in Monday. I knew it was going to be an S show. It actually wasn't as bad as I thought. But that lady, Pam from Mountain View, she needs her own podcast.
Oh, Jan. Chasky, Monday. You know, Jan is just a little slow, or Cage is a little slow. I couldn't believe how fired up she was on Monday. It was her best call. She was unbelievable.
She was tripping over her own words. She was so disappointed. But, Chasky, I want to say this. I'm assuming you're on holiday and not a personal emergency. But of all of the radio hosts, the day after home game, you need to be on the air because you're the only one that's not sitting up in the booth eating club sandwiches. You got your ear to the streets. I need your perspective on the day after a home game. I don't need a fill-in on that day.
So Bobby, the family was sick, and I apologize for that. And Joe is not a fill-in. He's an everyday guy. He's in here every single day. But the family was sick, myself included, so I apologize for that.
Oh, I'm sorry. When I heard Sausalito, I assumed you were on holiday.
No. Fonte, stop that. I live in San Francisco.
Hey, you know he's got the pinkies up, Bobby. I have a little worried about the Niners.
I would tell you who I'm voting for in San Francisco, but then I'd get canceled by the rest of America.
No, it's cool. It's great that you get Zoom service on your sailboat. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I know. So, with the charcuterie board.
Here's what I want to say. I wish, this is what I want to say. I actually wish this game was in Dallas because I love the symmetry of the last 2 weeks. We just played a team who's been our daddy for the last couple of years, and we came out so flat with no effort. And I think that's what disappoints the fans. Not the score, the apparent lack of energy. Now we get a team that's coming onto our home field that we've owned, right? Like, we are their Chiefs, right? Every time we beat them at home in the playoffs, every time they have a good season, we ruin it for them. So I'm curious to see what their level of effort is. And the Niners, maybe they don't care about the fans, but they had to have been listening to the narrative this week of how disappointed the fans were at the level of effort. Not the score, the level of effort. So if they don't bring it, dude, they better put security guards around Great America because that little wooden roller coaster, they're going to set it on fire.
Bobby, I think the worst thing in life and in sports in general is when someone doesn't try their hardest.
Yep.
The one thing that God rest his soul, my dad, Steve Phelps, some of the great coaches I've ever had in my life, they would always say, the number one thing that you can control is your effort level, right? And so there's nothing worse than when you feel like someone's not giving their all. I don't care what sport it is, what occupation it is, like, for example, on your report card, so-and-so doesn't apply themselves. That means they're not working hard enough. You know what I mean, B? It's like the worst thing that you can have attached to you. And when Jerry Rice comes out and is questioning your desire and your amp and how fired up you are, that's a problem for me. When Steve Young is questioning it, and then When I find out yesterday, Dr. John York, not Denise, not Jed, Dr. John York makes an appearance at practice, I'm like, what's going on?
Dr. John York wanted to check in practice. Is that really a big deal, too?
Well, if he's not at practice a lot, I find that interesting.
Dr. John wanted to get out the house, maybe. I don't know. Are they going to practice harder because Dr. John York's there? By the way, he was on the field Sunday. He was wearing, like, white receiver gloves, like stick'em gloves.
What?
Yeah, I swear to God, he was wearing stick'em gloves on the field. It was so strange.
Dr. John York was.
Dr. John
like York he was Harbaugh?
Yeah, like he was Harbaugh. He was wearing gloves.
Are you sure they weren't, like, driving gloves?
No. I shook
Mickey
his
Mouse
head.
Gloves?
I shook his head. He had receiver gloves on.
No way.
I swear to God, he had stick'em on his
gloves. Was it so that he doesn't have to touch your hand?
Maybe. I mean, Jin Lee Chan wiped some mustard off of his beard. He had mustard on his beard. He was a mess, and Jin Lee Chan helped him out from NBC Sports. I swear to God.
That is the most incredible story. Dr. John York wearing receiver gloves.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it was a who's who on that field on Sunday.
In the words of you, this league.
This league, this team, this region, I don't know. You're listening to 957 KKGG FM, HC1 San Francisco, not C Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. I don't know. I'm going to make it this season, man. I don't know. Alamo, we got Fitz coming in. He's going to lighten up the mood. I'm telling you, Bob Fitzgerald, 920. I cannot wait to hear
matters.
From Fitz.
Size matters.
He'll put you in your place about the 49ers. This ain't his first rodeo. Alamo in Richmond. Alamo, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Alamo?
Man, it's been a little topsy-turvy, as you know, and I don't like quoting Raiders anything, but when you use the term commitment to excellence, I think the Niner fans have adopted that in the past 25, 30 years. So when you look at fans or the fan base saying what they're saying, it's within reason. I mean, I get it. There's a level of expectation that we should be running through people. But keep in mind, man, we got a mass unit going on. There's a lot of folk that's hurt, a lot of folk that's injured that won't be able to play. And I'm sure the last time we played Dallas, we didn't have this many people on the injury report. But when we talk about them Cowboys, man, I don't like the mystique. I don't like the mantra. I don't like anything pertaining to the Cowboys. I stood on that star, in all honesty, and I felt like Terrell Owens when I stood on that star. There's some other things. I've seen things that I wanted to do with that star, but I refrained from doing so. You know, I didn't want to go to jail in Dallas, so I kind of fell back a little bit. But I will say this, man. I will say this. For the fan base, don't sound the alarm just yet. I mean, this too shall pass. We'll get over it, I think, with the Dallas Cowboy game and how heightened it is. We'll get beyond the scope of this one. But at the same time, you know, Dallas is not the Super Bowl, and nor was the Chiefs. So at the end of the day, hey, let's stay focused. Let's do what we do. Be faithful to the Bay, baby. Let's go.
I love that call, Alamo. I love that. Now, that is a bucket list item. I do want to go tour Jerry's World and get on the star. And what I plan on doing is having a jacket on, little button-up shirt. So they
what
don't
jacket?
See any Niners girl. I don't know what jacket. It'd be like a regular pea coat or something. And then throw a jersey on and then take it off. Hey, I need you to take my picture. Hurry up and take the jacket off. Throw it away. Throw the shirt down. Instead of a star like T.O. I want to do that.
You should have a king's cape on.
Nah, I'm not a king. I'm not, especially in Texas, man. Everything's bigger in Texas. Speaking of which, Alamo was talking
about
injuries.
Can you imagine Bonte gets a job on whatever the local NBC affiliate is out there? Dallas Cowboy, pre and post. I'm Bonte Hill from the star. The cape comes flying off. He's wearing a T.O. jersey.
Go ahead, Spadoni. Get the joke in.
We're joined by second-team All-Pro Dak Prescott. And Dak, coming off that massive contract extension, no one deserved it more than you, obviously. You just had a tremendous performance. Backs against the wall. Pittsburgh Steelers, Sunday Night Football. Take me through that final drive.
Same old CD to me. And then Jerry Jones comes on for his weekly. I'm shocked you're talking to me.
CD Lamb, obviously, at Oklahoma. Should have been the first quarterback taken in that draft, obviously.
Exactly.
I did love you, CeeDee Lamb, in that draft.
Remember, hey, Micah, I just downloaded your newest podcast, man. You were killing it.
Hey, that was my draft crush. Steiny Guru had no idea who CeeDee Lamb is. We had cuts about the Rose Bowl, the plays in the Rose Bowl. We had an Oklahoma Sooner on the show. Oh. I was all over CeeDee Lamb. I love you some CD. Damn.
Shocked you talking to me.
That's Jerry Jones.
Well, yeah, obviously. Jerry Jones was like, you're lucky to have a job right now. I can get somebody else in your place. Basically told RJ Shaw, we get some other radio hosts in here. Who the hell does he think he is, man? That guy. Unbelievable. I'll take Dan York all day over Jerry Jones. Not even close. Niners are printing money right now. All right, let's go to we're gonna go to Bob Fitzgerald on the other side. Bobby Fitz. It's time to get back to Warriors basketball. 888-957-9570. What did you like about the roster yesterday? The vibes were good. The vibes were great. It was palpable. You could feel it through the TV screen. Warriors win by 35, largest margin of victory in a season opener in franchise history. How about that? How about that in the game against those fighting Chauncey Billups and the Portland Trailblazers? Let's talk to Bob Fitzgerald on the other side about this win last night. And that's all coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Adam, it's too much for me.
Draymond's going to get the technical foul.
Well, you can see that one coming. Trying to calm him down, and Draymond just kept coming. But
don't keep be careful. Steve Kerr's using a timeout.
Yeah, just let him settle down, cool off a little bit.
Yeah, Trey Maddox did a good thing there. He gave him the tee, but you don't want to keep walking after the official.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
They were able to corral Draymond Green, call a timeout that Tim Roy mentioned. That was Bob Fitzgerald, of course, on NBC Sports Bay Area. They were able to calm Draymond Green down, get the game stabilized. They came out and they rolled the Portland Trailblazers, outscoring them 78-51 in the second and third quarters. They go 18-36 after the first quarter from the three-point line. Largest margin of victory in a season opener in franchise history. And a lot to like, man. A lot to like, Shasky. Wiggins, Buddy Hield, the depth. Steph Curry letting the game come to him. TJD. I know it's just the Portland Trailblazers, man, but it just looked different. It felt good last night.
Yeah, they were very active in terms of scrapping after loose balls and boxing out and second effort. And it just felt like the ball was hopping around and purely. It wasn't just like at the top of the key because nothing's going. It was in rhythm. And then I love the way they were recovering on help defense because you're going to get blown by at times. And then like how well do you recover without fouling? I thought they did a great job of that. There's just so many little things. Like, God, they looked so much better.
It did. It was flowing. The threes were going up. They were active. They were getting to the 50-50 balls. No, Niner Nick. We love Niner Nick for his 49er rant after a game. And I'm sure he had he was exasperated after the Chiefs game. I don't even think he had a big rant. But he hit me up yesterday. He goes, man, you weren't kidding about the athleticism of getting the more 50-50 balls. These guys are getting down and dirty. There's been at least three jump balls forced by the Warriors getting on the ground. Tons of steals. I'm intrigued. And I think that's the overall theme with Warrior fans right now. They are intrigued. It's something fresh. It's something new. And they didn't do what the Giants did, man. Like, you know, you could have re-signed Klay Thompson and did all that stuff and Chris Paul or whatnot. But they felt that it was a big pivotal moment for the franchise. And they tried to get better. And they put together a solid roster here. Real quick, before we get to Fitz, let's get the Big Smooth before we get to Fitz. Spadoni, get Big Smooth on before we get to Bob Fitzgerald here. Big Smooth, what's happening, baby?
Man, I've been saying it. When gloom and doom was being talked about, we didn't get marketed. I said it then. I'm saying it now. Deepest team in the NBA, bar none. Not William Floyd, bar none, but bar none. And I'm going to tell you something, man. Last night it was on display, and the shooting wasn't even there yet. Wait till the shooting comes in. Steve Kerr can roll out 10, 12, 13, some nights 14, and nobody really – here's the thing. Steph's numbers are going to take a hit, but he'll be better for it at the end of the year. This team, I believe – will be a top 10 defense. I believe that because you can put people in waves. When they get tired, you have enough people to shuffle. You have enough people to withstand any kind of an injury, except for Steph Curry. But what I'm saying is you saw Buddy last night. Buckets was smooth.
Yeah.
Melton, you can kind of see what he's going to give you. You see the value of slow-mo. You're starting to see this, man. I'm telling you, this is the real strength in numbers. The other one, we were just saying that because, yeah, but this one, this is the real strength in numbers team, guys. I'm telling you, we are going to be in the top six. Don't worry, Shasky. We're not being a playing team this year. But let me say one other thing real quick.
Go ahead, Bismuth.
I don't like the barrage of three-pointers that I see in the NBA in general. I don't like the way this is going. Somebody just needs we need to see a defense that can clamp down. Too many threes. My gosh. Did you see the games yesterday?
Yep.
People were just chucking up threes. I hope the league is Well, it's too late. The genie's out of the bottle.
Well, but, Big Smooth, you know what's interesting?
The rest of the NBA is going.
Good call,
no,
Big
it's
Smooth.
Interesting. I don't know if some like it's some change, like, oh, anything, any dunk is worth 3 points or something like that. I don't know if they're going to change the math on the floor or whatever, or change the dimensions of the three-point line. I don't know. I don't know if something's got to change, but I do believe that there's going to be some defensive variations that are going to be birthed out of what we're seeing now that's going to force the game to evolve even more. And I just don't think we've seen it just yet.
Yeah, no doubt. Kind of like football, right? The adjustment to the spread system, to the RPO game, to the jet sweeps and everything. You will see an adjustment in the NBA. Maybe it means more post-ups. Maybe it means going to the basket. Now, I don't think the Warriors are going to totally ignore the mid-range game. They're not going full Houston Rockets where it's like, hey, threes, freeze, or layups. No. They're going to pull up from 15 feet. You saw Looney pull up from 15 feet. Steph's going to hit his mid-range. Kuminga with that patented fadeaway on the baseline or the mid-block. He's going to hit that fadeaway there. So I don't think they're going to totally shoot a lot of threes, but there aren't too many teams who think they have a bunch of three-point shooters who should not be shooting three-point shots.
Well, I do believe, yes, I agree with that, but I also think that there are teams that think their best way of staying in the game is shooting threes.
No
it's
doubt.
Similar to like, hey, we're an outsized team in high school football. We have to spread them out because we can't play power football with the, you know, SEC-like high schools. You know what I'm saying?
No
so like,
doubt.
I understand philosophically having that opinion, but you have a lot of low-volume shooters taking low IQ shots that aren't high percentage at all, that aren't good shots.
Right.
I think that's the number one thing from when I watched last night with the Warriors. There were a lot of rhythmic, good looks, good shots, good shot creation. And like that to me is the checklist on whether you should, you know, take a three-pointer or a layup. Like, are they good shots?
Yep. 888-957-9570. We're efforting Bob Fitzgerald, who's in Portland. Maybe they're getting on a flight right now. I'm not sure when they're flying out to Salt Lake City, Utah, which is never going to be an easy trip for this team after what transpired last season, unfortunately, with Decky, the assistant coach who unfortunately passed away in Salt Lake City. It's not going to be easy a trip. Steve Kerr mentioned that. It's like, it's always going to be tough and emotional, but you're playing a Utah Jazz team that's young, athletic. They took Memphis to the brink last night, and I think Memphis is going to be back in his top six. You know, you got to forget Ja Ja and company were a top three seed in the Western Conference in back-to-back seasons. Zach Edey kind of fits there. We'll see what they look
did
like.
Did he foul out last night?
He did. First game. He did foul out a bit. 5 points, five rebounds, six personal fouls. So Walker Kessler, I've always liked this big. 16 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks last night, 6 of 7. Now, I'm going to fire up the Utah tape a little bit later today.
To see fire looking. Up
hey,
the
I have
Utah
to,
tape.
Man. That's what I do, Shasky. Come on, man. League pass, Bonte. Let's go.
What
hey, dude, marketing, 35 points, 9 rebounds. You know there's going to be a conversation then with Bucks Warrior fans when it comes to marketing.
Here's Keontae what I want to have happen. With every pod's assist and hustle play, I want him to, like, point up to the Danny Ainge box. With every single Kuminga dunk, just point up to the Danny Ainge box and then just say a great trade is the one you don't make.
Jordan Clarkson is going to come off the bench and, you know, he's going to get his shots up. So Utah, look, it's never an easy place to play either. Salt Lake City, what do they call that gym now? What do they call it? They used to call it the Delta Center back in the day. They now call it, what is it? Oh, wow. They went back to the Delta Center? Holy smokes. Wasn't it like Vivid.com Arena for some time? Oh, wow. They went back to the Delta Center. Wow.
Vivid.com sounds like it should be a, you know.
It's like 3Com Park.
Well, Vivid, I mean, just, it I don't know. It just felt like it was 18 and over.
Yeah,
it felt like it was an 18 and older site.
Oh, that's where your head is right now. That's
you know what?
You don't want to do the Doobie Awards at a strip club, but your head goes there.
Just saying.
What does Vivid.com? That doesn't sound like, sounds like a mortgage company or something like that. Isn't it a mortgage company? I don't know. All right. 888-957-9570. Groovy's back in the green room. You know, he's fired up about basketball. 888-957-9570 is the number. And the question we asked in the first couple hours, got a lot of calls with this. We can reset this in the 9 o'clock hour as well. What stuck out to you about last night? About the team? And what did you see different from last year? Now, let's hear from Buddy Hield. Let's hear from Buddy Hield because he was feeling good with his 22 points and 5 made threes. Here's what he said about last night.
You know, like, I don't want to bring it up, but I think the last time I was free like this was in Oklahoma. I had guys that always playing for me and passing the ball and trying to get me open. So, I mean, it was fun. I don't know the lie, but it's been a fun from preseason. You know, we just got to keep building and stay humble and keep learning from these guys.
I mean, he said he hasn't been this free since Oklahoma. Wow.
Most people, though, Bonte, like, very few people are Andrew Luck, where they can show up at a place and, like, just no matter what's around me, I'm going to have pretty good success. Most people aren't LeBron James. Like, hey, I'm here. I'm 18. I'll change everything. Most people, like, the setting matters. Would you agree? Your teammates matter.
Yep,
the company you work for matters. The opportunities you're given matter. So, like, I think the majority of people need to have a good setting that is catered to whatever their strengths are and their weaknesses are, and to be able to thrive. And I think that this, I'm not surprised that somebody who bounces around as a role player and realizes, I'm not a star. Now I have to accept this role spot.
Yep.
Is now come to this situation where a lot of different role players have thrived over the last decade in a similar spot where he's at right now in his career. I think this is a great opportunity for him this year.
And it helps when you have a Stephen Curry. It helps when you have a guy like Steph, and you got the banners, and you got the championship pedigree of Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, and of course Steve Kerr and his ownership group. That helps tremendously. Now, I didn't know this, Shasky. I really didn't know this. So it used to be called Vivint Smart Home Arena. I didn't know Vivint.com was an adult site. I had no idea. So apparently the Comcast Business section is coming in on that one. So there you go.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
Sorry, I mean, I've never visited the site, you know.
Well, I know that when the Miami United Center got switched to crypto and then crypto went bankrupt.
Yeah. Oh, FTX. FTX.
Yeah, a porn site wanted to put their name on the top of the United Center, the old United Center.
In Miami?
Yeah.
No, they were United Center's Chicago.
Okay, then what was it originally down in Miami?
What was FTX? But they were going to go Bang Bros after that.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
I'm glad you said it, not me.
It was American Airlines Arena.
American Airlines, that's it.
Yeah.
I knew it was in there, like an airline.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
So I was in Miami,
sugarcoat job.
Walking by that arena. It's awesome. It's right on the water.
Yeah.
And there were like chickens and turtles. And like, dude, it was out of this world. Miami is insane.
No, I've been. And the night with the lights, when you're driving by that arena,
it's so
at nighttime,
cool.
It is so cool. Miami's just different.
With the yachts alongside
I mean, we're in a club. And a club didn't get crack until 3 in the morning. And that's when they really started popping bottles and everything. I was like, dude, this is unbelievable. We're at the King of Diamonds, and I'll let people look that up. But King of Diamonds, 50 Cent was there that night, and they were just throwing money all over the place. Yeah, King of Diamonds.
Is this a King's Tale?
It's not a King's Tale. I'm just telling you what it was. Let's go to Recent Vallejo. Let's get off this. Recent Vallejo, let's talk some Warriors, man.
If I didn't live in San Francisco, San Diego and Miami would be my number two and number three.
Yeah, you guys are horny. I know. We're the horniest show.
No, it's just I love the weather.
I mean, yeah, sure. You love the weather. Sell Michelle on that
size,
one.
Map, and the golf.
Yeah, you love the golf. I'm going to Miami for golf.
There is.
Come on.
There is.
I go for the humidity.
Yeah. I bet you are. You're going for the humidity. Oh, man. You know what, Oscar DP, I give you a 5 for this. Comcast Business Text Line. Hey, Reese, you could chime in on this as well. 650 Oscar DP. This segment should be called The Morning Moan.
I am slippery.
You like that, Reese? Hey, Reese, these guys are so horny, man. It's like they haven't been out the house before, man.
Come on, guys. Tighten up.
I agree. Tighten up, man. We got Warriors basketball. Got Niners and Cowboys.
Hey.
I'm thinking about Vivint.com. I had no idea.
No, I'm not. I'm playing sticky man defense on the topic. Just chill.
Yeah, well, you're getting burnt. It ain't sticky enough.
I'm getting Jimmy warded.
Stop it.
Go ahead, Reese. You're getting Mike rumped. Reese and Vallejo, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas, man? Love the show. Called a couple times, but just real quick, I just love the fact that the Warriors, we really played with like that whole team buzz. Like the cohesiveness between everybody was amazing. I love Clay, miss Clay, but we didn't miss him that night. We didn't miss a beat. It seemed like we were firing on all cylinders. Buddy Hield is a beast, and it seems like the entire depth that we have is just amazing. So I like to see that, and I think we're going to grow as the season progresses.
No, I like that call, Reese, because you know what? Clay's a legend, and we know that. But what the Warriors did in the offseason to replace a Clay, and don't forget, Dario Saric and Chris Paul, I think these additions are going to help. These guys, we have defined roles now. Guys, no. Kuminga knows he's going to start and get 20, 25 minutes a game. All right? Wiggins knows he's going to get plenty of shots up, and he's not going to go five possessions without touching the basketball. Steph knows he's going to let the game come to him. Buddy Buckets, Buddy Hield has fully bought into his role because he knows with that second unit, I'm going to be able to let it fly. Pods, he knows what he has to do. TJD, Looney, all these guys, man. I like where they're at right now, Shasky. I really do. Now, we're only one game in, one out of 82. I'm going to see where they're at after 10 games, after 12 games, after 15 games, and we'll assess the situation. But so far, so good after what we've seen in the preseason training camp and, of course, the first game of the season.
My guy, Phantom of the Opera, a.k.a. Pajemski, just diving on the floor with a broken nose. I loved it.
Oh, absolutely loved it. Loved it. I mean, oh, boy, 5-1-0. I'm not gonna get there. Steve Kerr, he loved the way the guy stuck with it.
I just like the way we stayed with it after that slow start. We had a lot of guys come off the bench and play with great energy, and I think that's the strength of our team, is just the depth and the ability to play a lot of different ways and different people. And, you know, the only way it works is if everybody buys into it, and the guys have done that, and they've had a great camp, and it's a good way to start out the year.
There's no doubt. So far, so good for the Golden State Warriors. Everybody does seem bought in. I heard training camp in Hawaii was really good. The vibes were immaculate. You heard Khalid out of Buki talk about it on the broadcast. And, of course, our man Bob Fitzgerald joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests are 95.7 a game, but appear on the River Islands guest line. It is time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop. And, Shask, we got to give Bob Fitzgerald a standing ovation. Another season. 32 years at the freaking Warriors, man. Hey, Shask, we were in Pampers with Fitz trying to call the Warrior games, man. Can you believe this?
I was not in Pampers.
No, we were past that. You know, we were past that. Just a little bit.
I might have been in Hammer Pants, but I wasn't in Pampers.
What's up, Fitz? Good morning, buddy.
What's up, guys? I was just having flashbacks to Zubas and stuff like that. I mean, come on.
I mean, the vibes are good. You know, we know it's the Portland Trailblazers. They're a rebuilding team. But I think it's the form of the Golden State Warriors. They're 38 assists. They out-rebound the Blazers. And after a rough first quarter, they go 18-36 from the three-point line, the largest margin of victory in the season opener. And it just seems like the vibes, look, we don't know how many wins they're going to get, but you're going to have to bring your A game when you play the Warriors this season. They're deep, man. They feel really good about this team so far, Fitz.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, you know, success is measured by where you are versus where you could be. And, you know, with Klay leaving, it's like, okay, is this the end of everything, and you just got Steph and Draymond and the whole team's going to fall apart? And that's normally what happens after a dynasty kind of ends. But then how Mike Dunleavy ends up getting Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton, and then you have the young guys in Pajemski, Trayce Jackson, Davis, Kuminga, and Moody, and it doesn't look like Steph and Draymond are slowing down anytime soon. So this team is so deep. Then Wiggins looks great. GP2's healthy. Looney looks great. You're like, whoa, I could put 10, 11, 12, 13 guys out there and feel good with who's ever on the floor. And tell you, Bonte, like, teams say they want to run, but the Warriors are like a 4x100 relay team last night. Like, Portland was looking. Timani Kamara, who's a great energy young guy, he kept looking over like, is a new fresh guy in blue subbing in? Like, what is happening? So I think if they could keep that up, they can kind of overwhelm teams with their depth. Now, there are elite teams. There's the OKCs and the Bostons of the world. You're going to see them on this next long road trip. But for the Warriors to be spicy and be a tough out and be a team that can win some games, absolutely. And I think they're going to be fun to watch, which, you know, from a fan standpoint, is what we really like about the team.
Yeah, for one night, I had an ear-to-ear smile, and it just felt like there was joy, the ball hopping, connectivity, everyone talking about how they all get along. Like, it just, the vibes were really, really good last night. But I want to start with the main guy, Steph Curry. You know, when we talk about body transformation, most people are like, oh, Barry Bonds, right? And we know what was baked into all that. And even though he's one of my favorite players of all time, I think we haven't talked enough about the transformation of Steph Curry's body from, I know, when he was 19, 20, 21 years old, to what he is now. We're talking 15 years. This guy is chiseled like granite at this point in his career. And to play in a cardio sport where it's tough to put on muscle, I marvel at how he's kept his body in such great shape and how much muscle he's added to give him that bulk to be able to finish in the lane and to withstand 82 game seasons in playoffs. Steph, I mean, you're around him all the time, Bob. Like, I don't think people understand how much he puts into his body.
No, I mean, I think that's well said. And, you know, Steph uses a phrase, the work will show. Like, you can't cheat the off season. You can't, you know, sit around for 3-4 months and then roll out and try to be elite. That's why his energy level and his, you know, I mean, I won't share too many personal stories, but this is the kind of guy, like, you're, if you're on a golf trip, you're done and like, hey, let's get a margarita, whatever. And he's like, where's Steph going? On a 10-mile run. You know, it's like, what? You know, so it just, it never stops for him. And it's the weightlifting, it's the cardio, you know, it's the ability. Like, you know, I think people have written about it, but you'll see him in timeouts where he's staring straight ahead and you're thinking, what's he doing? He's lowering his heart rate. Like, he, it's almost like a meditative zone where he can lower his heart rate and then get back to a level and then get back out and play, where most guys get to that timeout and their heart's beating so fast and then you don't kind of have that muscle memory and perform in the most pressure situation. So mental, physical, relentless work ethic, relentless. And that's where the Kevin Durants, the Steph Currys, the guys that just, you know, hey, let's just get up a couple shots. No, let's get up 1,000 shots. Like, I don't think fans ever see that because a lot of it's behind the scenes, but it does show when he's never tired and playing at a rate and a level against elite athletes at age 36, where that's an age where most guards are done, like career over. And where's his prime and where's his extending of how long he wants to play? He's got 3 years left on his contract, and I think he'll play those three and play at a super high level and probably decide just year by year how he keeps on going.
There's no doubt about that, playing at an extremely high level, an All-NBA player in Stephen Curry. We're talking to Bob Fitzgerald here on the River Islands Guest Line. Let's get to Andrew Wiggins, because he's had a tough 2 years, Fitz, and personally, nobody knew what he was going through, but it feels like he's at peace. I saw him at media day, and it felt like he had closure. He was smiling again, and he's being ultra-aggressive. A quote that Steve Kerr had on this station last year was saying, hey, we can't let Wiggins go 5 possessions without touching the basketball. And you saw early on in that game last night, they made it a point, the Warriors, that is, to get Wiggins the ball, get him some touches, and he started rolling. And boy, if the Warriors get the Wiggins we saw during the championship season in 2022, look out, man. This guy is the ultimate X-factor for this roster.
No, and I said it last night, and you know, we'll keep track of it, but I think any game that Wiggins and Buddy Hield have 20 or more, they're not going to lose. And Wiggins, as that secondary scorer, it can't be 13 like last year. It's got to be 17, 18, 19 like previous years. And he scores differently than a lot of guys on the team, Bonte. Like, the championship year, he led the team in three-point shooting. People can look it up. It wasn't Steph. It wasn't Clay. It was Wiggins. But you can put him on that mid-post. I think Steve, he threw his chips in yesterday in a good way. Wiggins at the 2.
Yep.
Kuminga at the 3. Draymond at the 4. Trace at the 5. Like, I don't know how long that starting lineup will stay, but I love it because Wiggins is bigger than most 2s. Kuminga's bigger than most 3s. Like, do you have ball handling and this? I mean, you know, maybe. You can always look at what you don't have, but I love that unit. And if Wiggs is, you know, hitting 3s, scoring inside, when he and Kuminga run, there's a relentlessness that most guys don't have wings that can finish like that. So I do think, and you alluded to it nicely, I mean, you got a family member dying and he passes away. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's an ache there that doesn't go away, but there is some closure to kind of continue to move forward. But while that's happening and you're in a public position, you know, what is Wiggins doing this? Why is Wiggins doing that? Like, there's a lot more going on in someone's life than I think you ever realize.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I'm looking at this team right now, and that second unit was so fun yesterday, and they obviously galvanized the game, seeing Melton ball handle alongside Pajemski. But I want to get into Pajemski. Like, you've always talked about these players, and I love these guys, the DiVincenzos, the TJ McConnells, you know, the Pritchard up in Boston, like these off-the-bench spark plug guys. I think this guy gives you a little bit of everything in Pajemski. You get ball handling, you get unbelievable passing where he does the tic-tac-toe passing. He's diving on the floor with a broken nose. I know he doesn't hit the 3, I mean, because he didn't set his feet yesterday, but he can, and I think there's more to his game. He's the guy you hate playing against and you love on your team. I love Pajemski and everything he brings to the table, Fitz.
Well, I love that you said that, because I was curious as to which guys you would talk about. There's some fans, and Dub Nation's very smart, so this is not Dub Nation. This is more random fans. They look at Pajemski last night. Oh, man, he was 0 for 5. He was plus 34 in his 25 minutes, the best on the team. For everything you just said, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, relentless energy. You wouldn't want to play against this guy. He's a Tasmanian devil. So, you know, last year you look at his three-point shooting, I got no problem with him at 37%. I think the mask is a problem shooting. I mean, Brandon won't say it, but it's funky, man. It's just that there's something with just the way your depth perception is. It's uncomfortable. So I think his three-point shooting, we saw it in summer league, you see it just warming up. He can hit the three, but I do think it's a lot of feet set, catch and shoot, a lot like Draymond's threes, where you can almost tell when he catches it and where his base is if it's going in or not. And so I think Brandon's going to be fine. And if anything, he's trying to do too much sometimes, but running that second unit with Buddy Hield, playing with De'Anthony Melton, how about the return of GP2?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy just swipes balls from legitimate ball handlers, like at the NBA level, like you're in fifth grade. He's just literally taking lunch money. It's to have him healthy. I'm telling you, they put out guys where you're looking, oh, who came in? Okay, oh, I like that unit. Wait, these three guys came in? Great, they can all play. Like, it's just fun to see the depth. Look at Kevon Looney's body and the way he's playing right now. So there is a chemistry and camaraderie. Maybe the biggest surprise is that you would get a De'Anthony Melton, a Kyle Anderson, a Buddy Hield. They would fit in basketball-wise, but they would fit in amongst the guys. Like, you can't fake that. Like, you know, bus rides and shoot-arounds and practices and going to Hawaii, like, there's guys like, oh, this is a new guy. But then you see them in the mix with everybody, and you're like, wow, they scout talent, but then they scout people at the right way. And, you know, and I think Jerry Stackhouse and Terry Stotts being added is another, like, plus to the vibe around the team right now.
Yeah, we touched on that yesterday in the pregame show, Fitz, that the underrated moves are the guys sitting on the bench with Terry Stotts, who's got a ton of head coaching experience, and Jerry Stackhouse, who has head coaching experience, is going to get on guys for their defensive abilities here. And you mentioned lineups, pods, and I thought the lineup that really flipped the game in the second quarter, Fitz, was Curry, Brandon Podziemski, TJD, who went 5 for 5, 14 points, showed his hands, ran the floor well, Draymond Green, and of course, Buddy Hield. And I gotta admit this, Fitz, watching him in Sacramento, I thought, boy, what is Buddy doing? Can he move? Can he play in a system like the Golden State Warriors? Well, fast forward 4 teams later, and he seems like the perfect fit off the bench in this unit, and he's going to get plenty of shots. And who knew that in the last 5 years he's made the most threes in the NBA?
Yeah. Estimated the second most. In the first 8 years of his career, he's made more than anyone in the history of the sport. I'll give you a little thing with Buddy Hield, is that when you have Chris DeMarco coaching him on the Bahama national team, and you have Ron Adams around that team a lot too, Buddy Hield already kind of feels the love of this coaching staff. And I think after, you know, it was like New Orleans to Sac to Indy to Philly, whatever, you got to appreciate a guy where it can't just be, well, if he makes shots, I like him, and if he doesn't make shots, I don't like him. I think they like Buddy Hield as a person, and he feels that. And maybe that's the Bahamian vibe or something.
Yeah.
But 22 points in 15 minutes, he's going to have games where maybe he doesn't shoot it as well. And then he's going to have games where off the bench, he is a flamethrower. And either way, this coaching staff and his teammates are still going to love him for it. And I think at this stage of his career, you know, Lenny always uses the phrase at peace. You're a six man, you're a flamethrower, you're a shooter, you come in and that is your job. And I think right now he's like, cool, that is my job. I love it. And so 22 points in 15 minutes, man. Like that is, there's something about where your role is and then where you see yourself at age 31 career-wise, and I think this is a good stop for him, and it fits on a lot of different levels.
Shasky, this is why Fitz is the man. The Chris DeMarco pull and the Ron Adams pull, I didn't even think about the Bahamas national team. That's a great pull, Fitz.
Well, it's also, too, is that, you know, there's always those interconnections on, I knew this guy because of here, I spent this time here, and you get to know, you know, guys as people, and so then when they go, when Mike Dunleavy says, hey, we're thinking about Buddy Hield, and DeMarco's like, I'm coaching him in an Olympic tournament right now. Like, I know everything about Buddy Hield. Ron's like, I know everything about Buddy Hield. And so that helps. That helps the recruitment, and that also helps, this is how you coach a guy, this is how you get the best out of him. And, you know, I think if you look at, this is, now I'm getting super deep. The game in Vegas against the Lakers, Buddy Hield didn't shoot it all that great. the game was over, and Steve went over and gave him a big hug. And I think it was showing him there's games you make them and games you don't, but we still love you the same type of thing. Where I think in other places, hey, you had a great game, I love you. Oh, you had an off game, I ain't talking to you. I think coaches learn more and players feel where you really fit in sometimes when you have a rough game. You know, and I'm going to make sure breakfast this morning I tell Pajemski, hey, man, 0-5, I don't want to hear it. Plus 34, best on the team. Like, that's, guys need to hear some of that stuff just so it isn't all what were my stats, what was my scoring on a given night.
Yeah, no doubt. You referenced, I know they're going to have a moving target when it comes to the starting lineup, closing lineups. It's going to be, what is done now does not mean it's going to happen 15 games, 75 games from now. We all understand right. that. But with Draymond running the point at times with that starting unit, Bonte and I were just kind of kicking this around. He's such a willing passer, at times almost overly aggressive. What are you looking from him? If they are going to play Kuminga, Wiggins, and Trace with Steph out there, what is it specifically you're looking for him to help space the floor a little better, maybe protect the ball from those live ball turnovers where he's forcing it into the paint, trying to get one of those rim runners? I think it's important that they try to figure that lineup out because I think it could be a really good lineup for them.
Yeah, I mean, let's go defense first, and then we'll get to your point on offense is – I don't think you can have Draymond play too many minutes at the five during the year. Mm-hmm. I just think there it wears on you. And he can do it because he can guard anybody. But I think having Trace alongside him, having Looney alongside him, having Kyle alongside him, I think Draymond then gets to play free agent defensively and blow up teams and help Trace and weak side help and contest shots and fly out at shooters. Like, Draymond ran a clinic defensively last night. So I do like him at the four with a five next to him. That, you know, the best was Draymond Bogut, 4-5. That was insane. But now offensively, because he's not getting worn down so much defensively, offensively he's got that bounce and he's got that energy. But I do think that the passes you're talking about, there's no margin for the Warriors to have 25 turnovers in a game and throw the ball around the yard.
Right.
So this is where the Terry Stotts and Steve says efficient running and efficient in transition. You know what? That home run pass that might work one out of six times through four defenders, we're not throwing that this year. Throw it to this guy and we'll see what we get, but I don't want to see the degree of difficulty. Like, Steph had seven assists, no turnovers in the first half. Then he had two kind of giveaways early, and Portland got a little bit of juice at the beginning of the third. Draymond handles the ball so much, and he's such a good passer, that I think Steve and Terry Stotts, and even Draymond himself, because he's so smart, is going to be, you know what, degree of difficulty in some of these passes. We got to wheel that back in because we don't have the margin that you might have had in previous years talent-wise. So, you know, I think Draymond's going to do what he did last night. Six rebounds, assists, run the floor, relentless energy, 3 of 3 from the field, made his only three, only had to play 20 minutes. Like, life was great. You checked a lot of boxes with that game last night.
It's a nice corner three with somebody right in his face there. And Draymond Green quietly shot 39.5% from the three-point yep. line last season. So I kind of wanted to take more threes because he will have those shots. Real quick, Fitz, we're up against it. But taking a look at the Utah Jazz, it's never an easy place to play in Salt Lake City. You know that. It's going to be a bit emotional for the Warriors. We know what happened last season, unfortunately, to Deke. But Markkanen, Kessler's playing. He had a monster double-double yesterday as they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies by 2 points. This is going to be a good barometer for the Golden State Warriors early in the season. Utah's no joke. They're going to play hard. They got some nice quick guards in section of Keontae George. I'm looking forward to this one tomorrow night.
Utah started the last two seasons 26-26 in the West. They were 500 both the last two seasons. Then the wheels fell off and they faded down the stretch. If you catch the Jazz, you want them later in the season, not at the beginning, because to your point, the way they played Memphis the other night, like they play 100 miles an hour. Markkanen's a star. Warriors know that. Everybody tried to get him in the offseason. You know, it's one of those where they're good. They're improving. They're young. They're well coached. They play super hard. And other than Denver, it's the highest altitude in the league in Salt Lake City, very quietly. And it's going to, the depth will help because guys, you get the lungs burning real quick right away when you play the Jazz.
And the Warriors want to play fast, 0.5 basketball, but a good start to the season. Largest margin of victory in a season opener for the Golden State Warriors. Good win against the Portland Trailblazers. We'll do it again tomorrow night. Fitz, I'll see you on television. Always good to talk to you, brother.
All right, guys. Shasky, Ponte, anytime.
Love it. Love it.
Thanks,
Bob
Fitz.
Bob Fitzgerald here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. The DeMarco Buddy Hill dynamic. I like those little nuggets right there. Those are the little backstories that I live for. I like that.
I got multiple great insight, great questions, Joe. I mean, that's when you know you're hitting on all cylinders.
Fast Five time.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the Morning Roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
All right, as Bonte is bending over on the Zoom, my final thought
pause,
is this.
Homie. Dude. Pause. Big pause. Super pause.
Yeah, I know you're big time.
I mean, yeah, he is big time, you know. My final thought is this. The Warriors made me smile last night, and I felt happier watching them last night than almost any moment all season last year. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's just the newness, us needing basketball at this moment in our life, given our sports. But that's not where I'm going. The thing that made me smile the most was seeing Bryce Eldridge hit a game-winning, ninth-inning home run in the Arizona Fall League, his second in 3 days. I'm telling you, he's going to be our starting first baseman 2025. You're looking at a 300 home run guy for the San Francisco Giants. Mark the tape.
All right. I was going to say, I'm surprised you're not like DeJounte Murray with a fractured hand. Nobody loves patting themselves on the backboard.
How so?
That's a good joke. He's talking about the pitcher.
What are we doing?
Anyway, I got something on baseball. Believe it or not, my final thought on baseball. Spinelli, did you pull it? Did you pull it? 12 years ago today, Shasky.
Pablo?
Counts 0-2. And Sandoval hits it into center. Back at the wall. Come on. 1-0 Giants and a home run by Pablo Sandoval. The 2-0. Fly ball into left. Back at the wall. He's homered again. Wasn't activated until the third week of August. Center at the wall. Another Pablo Sandoval with a three-homer game in World Series game number one.
I mean, 12 years ago today, only four players have hit three home runs in a World Series game. Babe Ruth did it twice. Mr. October, who was just on with Steiny and Evan Giddings, yeah. Reggie Jackson, Albert Pujols, and, of course, Pablo Sandoval. You go Bryce Eldridge, I go Walker. World Series at Pablo Sandoval. Give me the panda hat.
People will forget it, but I think the two greatest moments in that game weren't even the home runs, even though that was spectacular.
It wasn't.
It was Barry Zito with the fake bunt slapped down the line, and then Prince Fielder getting hosed at the plate.
That was a great moment. I'm taking Pablo over the Barry Zito fake all day long.
Barry Zito beating Verlander. If I would have said that 2 years prior, people would be like, shut up.
Yeah, no doubt. Spadone, what you got?
Vibes are good today, gentlemen. You feeling that? Are we going to carry this over into tomorrow when we're back in studio? The vibe's still going to be good, guys?
I don't know.
Vibes are going to be great tomorrow.
Is Lubman in or out?
I think he's in. I think everyone's back tomorrow.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe I'll see how he's feeling at 5:05.
Maybe I should work from home tomorrow.
Oh, come on. Television Bonte, Radio Bonte.
Oh, God.
Television Bonte is back.
He is.
You hear that interview with Bob Fitzgerald right there? I thought I was getting a glimpse of just the behind-the-scenes
I know, footage. Dude. They're spooning on air, visually.
I look up to Fitz, man. He's one of a kind, man. That's my guy. Man.
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
Fitz, for over 12 years, is always good. He's always been good to me. I'll never forget being a promo intern at the other station and how Fitz treated me. Treated me like I was on air or something like that, man. Fitz is, he's A1. He's a good dude. Carter, real quick.
Carter!
Yeah, real quick. Come on, Draymond. Come on, man.
Shaq, you talking to me?
Listen to me. Listen to me and listen to me good. It didn't matter. It doesn't care. Like, let's wait till he costs us a game before we lose our minds. Oh, gosh.
Tried his best to.
You see Stackhouse's face? It's like, we gotta cool it.
Stack. I mean, come on.
Absolutely incredible. That's Fast Five brought to you by
Steve Kerr blowing a timeout just to calm Draymond down. They need a get back guy on the Warriors just to get Dray back. Like, you know how the SEC has it? Yeah. Get back! Get back off the line!
It was still a better timeout than anything Shanahan's done all year.
Oh, see. Oh, boy.
Possibly.
Oh, there's a lot of text, man. This show's unbelievable. At Homer on the call, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Steiny and Guru next. Will they focus on the positives or the negatives? We shall see. Damn it.